first of all, can I just say, I was in a major battle when lockdown began. It involved my daughter and my grandchildren. And, you know, the way we've just sung the words of those songs, sometimes when you haven't got a prayer, you don't know what to say, you start singing them songs. That's your battle cry. That gives you victory. That will just cause your spirit man to rise up and say, even when I don't see you working, I know you never stop working. You're a way maker, a miracle worker. That's who you are. And you have to say it. You have to say it, not think it. You need to say it. And I really want to emphasize that. The power of your words is so important. It says life and death are in the power of your words. So I just want to encourage you. Glasses would be good. I put things down. I get to an age and I think, what did I do with them? And I've just literally had them. Now I've got them.
Are they in the pocket?
No. There they are behind me. Somehow or other, I must throw them over my shoulder. I wanted the cross to be in focus for everyone, because without the cross, none of us would have salvation. None of us would be in relationship with God. None of us would have our names written in the Lamb's Book of Life. None of us would have eternal life now and in the future. So, you know, I pray that your eyes are opened, your ears are opened, your hearts are opened, and that the Holy Spirit will speak something to you today that will break through into your life and cause chains to be broken, and a revelation of his truth that will transform your life. I want to, you know, we hear the word once and we think it's enough, but it says faith comes by hearing the word and hearing the word and hearing the word of God, not once. So what I want to do first of all is just go over what Russ spoke about when I listened, because I was near. I was at the end of COVID last week. Sometimes to hear it once in church is not enough. And I would encourage you, go back over some of the teachings that are on the website. They're free, so you can listen to them. And just listen to it. Have a little notebook. Take some notes. We are, you know, supposed to be students of the Word of God. So I want to encourage you with that. Russ spoke about the history of the city of Ephesus. He mentioned the wrestler and the wrestling, and that it's not against human to human. He went through every chapter. He said who we were in Christ and what's been made available to us as a believer alive in Christ. He talked about the barrier of hostility being brought down, and Jesus has reconciled us to him and each other through the blood of Christ on the cross. He spoke about an inheritance that's ours as Gentiles. We are joint heirs of the promise. It's God's intent through the church that the manifold wisdom of God would be made known to what? To rulers and authorities in the heavenly realm. He also mentioned about being built up and matured in the body of Christ, and that God gives us, or the Holy Spirit gives us gifts, some to be pastors, prophets, evangelists, teachers and preachers, so that we will be built up and mature into the stature of Jesus, walking in the light, being imitators of God, and that we are to reflect them in our relationships, whether it be with your husband, your wife, your children, your employer, or your employee, if you're an employer. And they come against us with such hostility that Paul says, stand your ground. So it's having done all, stand. I love this scripture, and I always like to just speak it and declare it out. As I said, there's power in your words, and declaring the word of God prophetically over your own life. So I want to just declare this. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. The Spirit of the Lord has anointed me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and the recovery of sight to the blind, Amen. To set at liberty those who are oppressed. And I thank you, Lord, you are opening hearts, minds, and ears in Jesus' name. Ephesians 2:4 says this, but because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive in Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions and sins. It is by grace you have been saved, not by your works. It is purely by grace. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms. This is a spiritual realm. I am a spirit, I have a soul, and I live in a body. You'll find as well that in our lives, we have seasons, just like the hemisphere. We have spring, summer, autumn, and winter. And we have seasons in our lives where we do have a battle. It's not always. Even Satan came to Jesus, as you remember, and it said that he tempted him and then he left him for a more opportune time. So there are times when we go through battles, but we're not always in a battle. Although spiritual warfare is real, we cannot ignore it, and we must be careful to remember that the real battle with Satan has already been won at the cross. And that's why I want you to just keep glancing at that cross. The battle is already won. He's won it. It's already been won at the cross through our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Jesus said this as well, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So he is building the church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Greater is he. We are on the winning side, by the way. If you read the end of the book, just in case you didn't get all that, we're on the winning side. We cannot lose. And greater is he that's in me. If you have the Spirit of God living on the inside of you, then greater is he. That alone is a weapon against the enemy, speaking that out. No devil, greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. As we seek to engage in spiritual warfare, we must be careful to walk in balance. For one thing, we need to realise that this subject involves more than just dealing with the devil. Other major elements of spiritual warfare have to do with taking control of our minds and crucifying the flesh. Ooh, ouch. That's a hard one, isn't it? When I want to do this and I want to eat another piece of chocolate cake and I want to just do what I want to do. We must not forget that these latter elements of spiritual warfare are just as vital as the first. We're not fighting flesh and blood, but powers and principalities. But we still have a battle in our mind. We have to renew our mind with the Word of God. And we have to crucify this flesh that tries to dominate us. Joyce Meyer says this, and they become strongholds in your mind. She says this, a stronghold is where Satan digs in and buries himself. And what you believe will become your reality. I'll give you an example. I have a daughter and she's in her 30s. She's got two children. But if she hasn't phoned me for 2 days, I start worrying. Why hasn't she phoned me? What's going on, you know? And my imagination can have this big scenario that something bad has happened. And, you know, I pick the phone up and I go, hi, Jade, how are you? And she goes, I'm fine. You know, and you'd be surprised, but when you worry about something, it even affects how you feel, your emotions. It's very, very real. And this is an area that, you know, I have to take those thoughts captive and I have to cast them down. That's what the Word of God tells us to do. You have to change those negative thoughts into positive thoughts. I just want to give you an example as well of a stronghold. One that I've never been aware of before, but I was made aware of a couple of years ago. I was asked to speak at an event that Bibi was hosting in the church, and Joy, and I was asked to speak on rejection, because that has been a stronghold in my life that has come in from a child, and that's because our mother left the family home when we were children. So rejection is something that I've always battled with. And, you know, sometimes we battle with things. We have behaviours that we don't even understand why we behave the way we behave. But Joy and I got together and we spoke about, you know, the questions that would be asked. And usually you ask me a question and I can go on and on and on. And I felt like, I don't know whether you're aware of a car that puts the clutch into gear, and, you know, and it goes into neutral and then you go into first gear and second gear. I felt like my brain was just in neutral and wouldn't move. Every question Joy asked me, I couldn't even answer. I just had this nothing, a complete, I don't know how to answer that. And then all of a sudden, this, I'm not going to quote this exactly how I said it at the time, but it was just like, maybe I shouldn't be doing this. I don't think I should be doing this. Maybe I shouldn't be in the church. Maybe Russ and Bibi don't even like me. Where on earth did that come from? Word rejection. There's a root of rejection. So when you're not functioning right, can you see? I am so grateful that happened. I can tell you, I was absolutely horrified when I could hear this coming out of my mouth. But... and I didn't, I knew something had happened. There was a manifestation of something, but I didn't realize what it was. I went home and I was so troubled. I could not sleep that night. And, you know, we're in a relationship with God. We have the Holy Spirit to help us. And I said, Lord, what was that? And just as I waited on the Lord, the thought came to me, that's a stronghold. And the next morning, this is what I did. I phoned Russ and Bibi up and I spoke to them and I exposed everything that had happened the night before. So there was, it was out in the light. Satan loves you to hide things, to cover things up. And we spoke about it, and then we got together some time after that and we spoke about areas of rejection, and it just caused me to see things for what they really were. They caused some healing to take place on the inside of me and restoration. Amen. That was one of the best things that ever happened to me. And I want to encourage you, if you start seeing things, behaviours or things you're saying, just talk to, you know, we've got leaders, elders in the church. Come and speak to them. Just expose it. I'm struggling with this, or I don't even know why I said this. I don't know why I behave like this. Bring it to the light and they'll help you. That's what they're equipped to do. So that's a stronghold. I'm going to keep my eye on this watch for time. Your thoughts turn into words and words turn into actions. So you have to change your thoughts. The mind is the battlefield. And you have to change your thoughts, and you can't renew your mind without the Word of God and the Holy Spirit. I want to also say this, guard against bitterness. In Hebrews 12, it says that, and it says, be careful of letting a root of bitterness come into you, because it will bring trouble. When somebody hurts you, you don't like them anymore, and you've opened a door, and the enemy will torment you with that. And also unforgiveness. Yeah. I want to also say as well, temporal values, when you make things more important to you, like money, and you're driven by things that don't last, they don't have eternal value on them. They're just temporal. Yeah. So change your focus, get back onto God. I want to turn now to the Ephesians 6 chapter. And from verse 10, it says, I don't know whether we have that up yet. Yep. It says, a final word. Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against all the strategies of the devil. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. Therefore, put on every piece of God's armor so that you will be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Then, after the battle, you will still be standing firm. Stand your ground, putting on the belt of truth and the body armor of God's righteousness. For shoes, put on the peace that comes from the good news so that you will be fully prepared. In addition to all these, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil, and put on salvation as your helmet, and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. And I want to say this. You can't stand in your own power. You have to have spiritual power and the power of God to operate this weaponry. He mentions in verse 11, put on and putting on four times. When God repeats a word, he is trying to get your attention. He's really saying something. Put it on. Put it on. Put it on. He also, in verse 11 and verse 12, four times he says, something's coming against you. So something is coming against you. And they are very real. And when we believe in Christ, these beings become our enemy. And they try every device to turn us away from him and back to sin. I think that's really important to remember that. That's the whole purpose, to kill, steal and destroy. He wants you out of the kingdom of light and back into darkness that you once were delivered from. The armour is putting on God's word. Yes. It's not a metal, although we do see it as a metal. It is, and all those things are very real. They're spiritual, so you can't see them. But as you put the word of God on, you are dressed in this armour, ready for the battle. It says as well about an evil day. So when is an evil day? An evil day is when you get a bad report. When you have been told by the doctor that you have cancer or some other kind of illness, you've lost your job, your children are in trouble. That's an evil day. It's an evil report. And we have weapons, the sword, it's written, and Satan will argue with you and he will reason with you. And his intent is to take your peace and to take your joy. For we wrestle, and Russell mentioned this last week. In the Greek, this word is pole. It's spelled P-O-L-H-E-Y. And I got this word from reading this book. This is Rick Renner. It's called Dress to Kill. I do recommend it. I haven't picked it up for many years. I did buy it many years ago. And it, you know, as I said to you, sometimes you have to revisit these things and read over them again to say, I need, like, to know that again. I've lost that truth somewhere along the way. For we wrestle, in the Greek, this word is pole, spelt. Sorry, it's spelled P-O-L-H-E-Y, but it's spelled P-A-L-E. And that's what Rick Renner says in his word. So if there's any correction, Rick Renner. And it means to wrestle or to struggle. The Greek world loves sports. Wrestle is a key word. Your battle is not against your husband and your wife, your boss or your children or your work colleagues. To wrestle or parlay, this was the most ferocious, fearsome sport, more so than runners or any other kind of sport. Everyone in the first century knew this word. If I said football today, you'd all know what football was. So if you mentioned in the first century, parlay, they knew it was wrestle. the palaestra, and I hope I'm pronouncing this correctly, but it was a palace where combat sports took place. And there was only three kinds of sports. There was boxers, there was wrestlers, and there was the pancration. And I hope I've pronounced that correctly. Their boxers and wrestlers are not like today's boxers and wrestlers. You boxed until one lived and one died. If you were a wrestler, you wrestled until one lived and one died. If you were part of the pancration, you fought until one lived and one died. The boxer would wear a hide, and I got this from Rick Renner's book, and it was 16 foot long, so I imagine a piece of leather that was strapped right around your arm, around each finger and knuckle, and then out of the knuckles were nails that were sharped to cutting knives. So if you imagine being hit with one of those, I mean, it would literally rip your face. And it says it was so brutal it would rip your ear off, gouge your eye out. And they fought till one lived and one died. There's an example that he gives about a boxer that boxed once and he was hit in the face and his teeth all fell out. And instead of spitting them out, he swallowed them so his opponent couldn't see that he'd lost every tooth in his mouth. The wrestler, they would wrestle in the nude and there was no rules. You could do anything to any part of the body. You wrestled until one lived and one died. And they were they tried to break your fingers or gouge your eye out so you'd become blind, or they would grab you from behind and lift you up and drop you so your back snapped. And they fought until one lived and one died. And then if you survived those, then you fought the best of the best. And they were called the pancration, and they were strong ones. And again, you fought until one lived and one died. I like what the Message Bible says. It says this. This is no afternoon athletic contest that we walk away from and we forget about in a couple of hours. This is for keeps, a life or death fight to the finish against the devil and his angels. He is out to kill, steal and destroy. And I want you to remember the fact that I spoke about strongholds. Not everything is the devil, so don't see everything as the devil. There's a balance. Satan does not play fair. Sorry, all that was in that word wrestle. And this was major intense warfare. Satan does not play fair. And only those committed will survive this conflict. Right. To wrestle is to us, whether we like it or not, at times we will be drawn into some kind of conflict with unseen powers. These are all schemes, strategies, and deceits of the enemy. And it says, you know, that there are principalities, evil rulers, powers of the unseen world. We cannot see them. The rulers of the darkness in the world, spiritual wickedness in high places. And Rick Renner says, and they're ranked in order. This is a military word, and there's a chain of command. Rick Renner goes into detail about these particular four different areas that the enemy operates in, but just for time, I'm not going to go there. And I want to then come back to the fact of the cross, and we're Jesus, it says in Ephesians 1:15-23, Jesus is far above all principality, all power. He's far above. He's won the victory already. He's defeated Satan. He has got the victory. Jesus is seated above it all. He is King of kings and Lord of lords. And he that is in me is greater than he that's in the world. It says also, be strong in the Lord. We have no power to defeat the devil. We have no power to defeat the devil. It says, stand in the power of the Lord and his might. And having done all, you stand. You stand. Russ spoke about fear, and we've sang about that this morning as well. And you know, there's fear of sickness, there's fear of failure. All of this is an enemy. I just want to give you an example. There was somebody that was in my life many years ago. And this particular man opened the door, and we saw an illustration of doors opened and closed and how the enemy comes in. And this man started taking drugs. And his personality completely changed. His behaviour was just like a different person. And this person put me through a really hard time. At the time, I was only a young Christian, so I didn't know much about the fact of powers and principalities and what you're fighting. You just see a human person, and why are they behaving like this towards me? And to the point that he really put me in fear of my life because of the threats and the things that he would say to me. And, you know, in the Word of God, it says, Satan comes as a roaring lion. That's what he comes as, seeking whom he may devour. He's not, he comes as a roaring lion. And there was many a night that this man would come and kick the front door of my house in and threaten that he was going to do this and that. And I won't go into detail. But I was so much in fear that my knees would knock together in fear, and I think my life's going to go tonight. And I would declare the word of God. I would say, God has not given me a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. And I would literally be crying with fear. And I remember saying, God, it's not working. Why is it not working? And then it was, I can't tell you how long after that, but there was a short period that I'd stayed in a friend's house while she'd gone away looking after her house, and there was a video recorder tape, and I watched the story of Helen Baylor's life. I don't know whether you know her. She used to sing with a group called Chaka Khan, and she was a singer, got involved with a drug dealer, and then she started taking drugs, and her life spiraled and was a mess. And she said this as I listened to her testimony: all drugs are an entry point for a spirit. And all of a sudden the lights went on. And that scripture came to my mind: your fight is not against flesh and blood, it's against powers and it's against principalities. And all of a sudden it's like, I'm not fighting him, I'm fighting the spirit behind him. The next time he came to my house with his threats, I stood up, and I'll be honest with you, we're a three-part being, so the flesh does get, the fear tries to get a grip of you. And I opened the window of my bedroom and I shouted out, I named this person. I'm not speaking to you. I'm speaking to that spirit behind you. And this is what he did. Shut up, Donna. You're frightening me. He went backwards down my path and never returned. What power? There's the victory. But if you don't know it, how can you defeat your enemy? That's why it's so important to get in the Word of God. That's why it's so important to be speaking to Jesus and the Holy Spirit. Show me these things. Why isn't this working? There may be areas in our lives that we have to change. That's one example. Fear, again, Russ spoke about fear. Recently, a friend of mine has cancer. She was totally in fear because of the time period that they said that she had to live. She's a Christian. She had adopted a little boy the year before and then was told that she had cancer of the blood. And the fear that gripped her, that she couldn't see beyond that. But obviously she got into the Word. She got friends, other Christians behind her that would just encourage her, just build her spirit up and speak the Word into her, so that where the enemy was attacking her, the Word became more powerful and she had hope and she was able to fight those negative thoughts and thoughts of fear. She had a full blood stem cell, And recently, in the last week and a half, she's been told that it didn't work and that these things, you know, paraproteins are back really high. One particular doctor said she had so long to live. If fear doesn't come in at a point of that, you know, she is back to this place where she now still has to stand, having done all. This is what your word says, God. What are those prophetic words that have been spoken over her life? We as her friends, what can we do practically? What can we do spiritually? We're praying behind the scenes. We don't know what to pray. The Spirit will help us to pray. Amen. These are very, very real battles. Where has sickness come from? We're in a fallen world. But reality is there are demonic forces that are out and they come in all different forms. I just wanted to share those things. Jesus came into the world. His purpose was to destroy the works of the enemy.
Amen.
Jesus said, if you hold to my teachings, you really are my disciples, then you'll know the truth. The truth will set you free. We should always lean and rely on the Holy Spirit to help us in our battle against the devil. Human strength will not suffice. We need the spiritual power that comes from being in close and intimate relationship with the Lord. We have been given the name of Jesus as we sang and the blood of Jesus. As we put on the word, we're able to stand against the devil's attacks and lies. And Russ spoke on the armor last week and what each piece represented. We spoke about it in the home group as well. 1 Corinthians 15:57 says this, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory and makes us more than conquerors through our Lord Jesus Christ. I want to just say this. We have to discipline our lives, and it's a practical application daily. It's not easy to discipline yourself and be obedient to the word of God at times because we are a three-part being. The more you put the word in, the easier it becomes. I can testify to that. I'm going to bring this to a close now. I want to say this as well. If your family member was an alcoholic, surely you've learned the lesson from them. And I think it was Joyce Meyer that said that. But it's like, look at the things that your family members have come, you know, have struggled with. Learn the lessons that you don't fall into them. The tricks and wiles of the devil. Talk about what you're struggling with. You have to be accountable to people. Darkness is an absence of truth and an absence of light. I want to just reiterate really what was said before. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. Not death, not life, not powers, principalities. Nothing can separate us. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the words of the testimony. I just want to say this to finish. How can anyone pray at all times? One way is to make quick, brief prayers your habitual response to every situation you meet throughout the day. The message says, in the same way, prayer is essential in this ongoing warfare. Pray hard and long and pray for your brothers and sisters. Keep your eyes open and keep each other's spirits up so that no one falls behind and nobody drops out. Ali mentioned that in the prayer meeting about she saw a mountain and helping one another up the mountain. It says God gives the authority. One puts 1,000 to flight and 2 10,000. And I just want to finish with this to say this. Are you born again? I really want you to ask that question. Margaret mentioned that earlier on as well. So obviously the Spirit is saying something because twice we've got this. Are you born again? Have you asked Jesus into your heart so he can become your Lord and your Saviour? Are you filled with the Spirit? Do you speak in tongues? Or do you need a fresh infilling of the Holy Spirit? Are there areas where you want to see breakthrough, freedom, and victory?